This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Well, keeping with the theme of property taxes in the legislature, colleges in Idaho receive significant parts of their budgets from property taxes. So many higher education institutions, as you can imagine, are keeping an eye on what is going on in the legislature right now. Mark Browning with the College of Western Idaho is joining us live in studio. Welcome back.
It is nice to see you again.
So let's talk about, first off, how college budgets are tied to property taxes.
So community colleges do receive property tax revenues. Four-year universities and Lewis Clark State does not. So let's set them out to the side. The two-year schools do. The reason they do is that they are a taxing district, very similar to a K-12 public school district. That's how statutorily it is set up. Residents within those counties who live there, who attend, go at a reduced tuition rate because they are already helping to fund the college through their property tax. At the College of Western Idaho, our property tax helps to fund, we are rough numbers, about $8.99 million out of a $71 million budget. So that gives you an idea of kind of how it is. Our rate is $12.88 per 100,000. Now, that is significantly lower than two of our sister institutions in Twin Falls and in Coeur d'Alene, but now they've been around 60 years and 80-plus years, where we've been around 10. Idaho Falls, just having recently converted from Eastern Idaho Technical College, they are in that $10, $11, $12 range as well. They're just Bonneville County, so they're just getting started. That's kind of how that portion of the budget is made up. It goes into your general fund where you can use those funds for whatever purpose that you need, that you determine. But as we had with your previous segment, you can only raise 3% a year without voter approval. That's where the check and balance comes back in with the voter.
Now, with that being said, how does that work then as property taxes go up?
Sure.
Do you get more money?
Yes. So we work just very similar to what any other taxing entity will, in that how you set that budget is to say, okay, we are looking for X number of dollars. We get the valuation from the county. Here's your property valuations, in our case, Ada and Canyon County together. You do the math and you divide that out. That becomes your rate. What we've done at the College of Western Idaho is say, okay, if we're going to take our full 3%, we're going to stop right there. We won't go back and amend the budget when the new construction comes on and without backing the rate down. So we've tried very hard to keep our rate down. If you look at the last 5 years, our rate's gone from $16, the low $16, we're down to $12.88. We're almost even to where we were when the college was voted into existence in 07. We're able to do that because we're not a city or a county that we don't have annexation coming in. The services, you know, if you've got to go out and provide water, sewer, garbage, police, fire.
That's a whole nother
thing. That's a whole nother ballgame. And so what we've done is we've looked to say, okay, what are we budgeting here? And then let's back our rate to it rather than doing the continual increase. I will say a couple of the bills that Majority Leader Moyle has proposed do exempt the community colleges out.
Oh, they do.
Now, there's a slew of them out there, and not all of those have that exemption, but there are a couple that do.
So what does that mean, then, if something like that were to pass? What does that mean for CWI?
For us, it would be we would go forward as we have been if we're exempted out. If not, depending on what the bill says, then we would have to adjust and say, okay, is it a 1% cap? Is it a freeze for 1 year? How would that look into impact our budget? What we would look at is say, okay, let's just say for discussion's sake, it's going to freeze us for 1 year. We'll say, okay, here's what our number was last year. That's what your number goes over this year. In terms of our budget, we either adjust down or other revenues that we look at, and in our case, that's tuition and fees. Our trustees have been very prescriptive and said affordable access is our number one mantra that we march to. And we're coming up on the fifth year of no increase in tuition. And we've talked about that in the past, not only in the state, but in the Northwest and the country. Name me a college that hasn't raised tuition.
In the last 5 years.
Yeah, because I think it's a pretty short list.
Yeah. So as we know, budgets are going to be set in the next few weeks of the legislature. Talk to us about the CTE funds. First off, what is it? Because a lot of people may not know.
Okay. Yes.
And then how does it work?
So career technical education, CTE, so commonly referred to as the trades, although it's much more expansive than that now because it includes business programs, nursing, a lot of IT sciences, those types of things. CTE programs through the state are funded at a higher level and a different level than your what we would call general education programs. It comes through a separate budget. And the CTE funding is set separately from your general fund budget from the state. For us, those programs, typically in this type of an economy, when the economy is less than 3% unemployment, your CTE enrollment will be down. You'll just be looking at just trying to hang on.
Right.
In our case, our enrollments are up. They're up in CTE, they're up in general education courses, they're up in dual credit, and they're up in non-credit workforce. We're up across the board about 4.5%. That money that comes from CTE is extremely important because we hire people out of industry to be those instructors, to keep those skill sets fresh, and industry is paying more for those positions. So, for example, if you're a nursing faculty member, you will make more than, say, an English faculty. That's the reality of the economics. So those monies that come through CTE help to augment that so that the college doesn't have to raise tuition fees otherwise to make up that gap.
And what's interesting, I think, is, as you said, I mean, when we see less than 3%, we see less people going into the trades.
Across the board.
Across the country.
Yeah, you see fewer people across the country. We run counter-cyclical to the economy. So when the economy's good, enrollment goes down.
Right.
Well, we've been up. Boise State's been up.
And do you think a lot of that is the fact that we are trying to get more students to go on after high school?
Yes.
For some people, we know that doesn't mean a four-year degree.
Absolutely.
But what you do are give people professions.
And I think what we're seeing, Gemma, is movement within professions. So in your profession here, you would have maybe an associate producer who's working full-time, three-quarter times, whatever it might be.
Well, in a perfect world, we'd have that.
Are they listening out there? Boise State Public Radio. Call now to make your pledge. Can I get in on that?
Yeah, that's in April.
But what you would have that person working to augment their skills probably in a part-time capacity, whether it's through technical skills or whatever they might be, to move within that band. To improve there's a lot of movement in the employment world with only 2.5% unemployment. There's a tremendous amount of movement within that. And we're seeing those students on a part-time basis. The vast majority of our students are part-time.
And there's another fun because, you know, let's have another acronym, right?
Sure, absolutely.
EWA. This is
I love this one. This one's my favorite.
Enrollment Workload Adjustment Fund. Yes. Now, what is this? And once again, tied to the legislature.
Enrollment Workload Adjustment is a formula through which the state board calculates if you have increased enrollment or decreased enrollment, essentially what your funding variance might be. So if your enrollment is growing, you are laying out funds to serve those students when they come. That money comes out, and then you turn in your EWA for the next year. If a three-year average, your enrollment goes up, you, in essence, would receive more funding to help serve those students. Most states across the country work on some sort of an enrollment formula. This is Idaho's version of it. It is a state board policy. It's not in code, but it has also been adopted by the Joint Finance Committee to say, okay, here's the EWA calculation. And different programs and degrees within that are weighted for fiscal importance. So you get more for an engineering graduate than you do, say, a philosophy. Enrollment workload adjustment is always a negotiation because when the economy is up, there is money to fund it. When the economy is down and enrollment is up, there's no money to fund it. So it works exactly opposite as it should. There's been a lot of work to try to address that because the state doesn't have the money. Right. In the amounts that they need to when we need EWA. Now, we're kind of an anomaly right now because the economy is up and our enrollment's up. So we should be okay this year. But it's money in arrears because with a part-time student, if it's a three-year average, in theory, that student could have been on our campus for 4 years and we've already been paying for them. We're just now getting money to pay ourselves back, in essence.
So bottom line, what does this mean for the average taxpayer who sees their property taxes going up, and then all of a sudden they look and say, what do you mean the community colleges are getting money?
It's a difficult scenario for all of us who are taxpayers, because our valuations are going up. And all the bills that I see, no one is really addressing valuations. The cost of the home, your valuation is worth what someone will pay for it. There's nothing to address that. It's all on the expense side. We're not doing anything to address the valuation side. For the community colleges, we put people to work. We are the most immediate turnaround for a student who can come in as little as 60 days to 9 months to a year, 2 years, whatever their program might be. We put them back to work in an improved condition from when they came to us. That's where we look at return on investment. That is a difficult part for a homeowner who says, and especially as Scott was talking earlier, if you've got a fixed income homeowner, boy, I'll tell you, you've got, you know, the city, the county, the school district, the mosquito abatement district, the library, everybody's in line. And here's the community college clear down here. We get lumped in with everyone and they're like, look, love you, can't afford you.
Right.
Even though the average home in Ada County is around $30 to $35 a year for the College of Western Idaho.
I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I've got to cut you off now. Yeah. We've been talking with Mark Browning with the College of Western Idaho. Man, talking a lot about property taxes, but it's on top of mind for everybody. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.